Hello, and thank you for listening to this teaching from Freedom Gateway Center. For more information about this teaching and other resources, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.
So we are continuing our series. This is going to be the last message of our True Stories, our parable message series. This morning we are going to be talking about the kingdom. The kingdom. Come on. That's the first time you've heard us talk about that, right? No. So how you guys doing? How you really doing? All right. Cool. Well, I'll just open us up with a little word of prayer, and then we'll launch right in here. So, Father God, I pray that you would stir us with passion for your kingdom this morning. God, we are not here to just warm seats, but we are active participants in expanding your kingdom here on earth. You've given us a job to do, and it is our joy and our passion and our love to follow you boldly into the world and make a difference for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on. Woo! All right. I'm like 3 cups of coffee and I just played drums. So I'm like, everybody. Cool. Well, this morning we are going to be talking about some parables of the kingdom. I love this topic. If you want to go deeper, we actually did an entire series called The Kingdom in Action that's available on our Facebook page and on our website and YouTube and all that stuff. So if you want to go deeper, Kingdom in Action is available. But this week particularly, we're going to be talking about two parables that are connected and are called the parables of the hidden treasure and the hidden pearl. You guys heard this one before? It's a good one. So this is in Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. We're going to dive right in, and I'm in the NIV version. So it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it." Interesting. So, talk about an investment, right? So here we have two examples, two interconnected stories, where we have a person who discovers something of great value, but then what do? Hides it again, finds it, hides it, then goes, sells everything they own to go back and harvest these valuable things. So in the first story, we have a hidden treasure, and in the second, we have a pearl of great price, right? Both of these things are concealed, right? Have you ever thought about that? Oh, yeah. So I'm going to talk to you a couple of fundamental principles about the kingdom that I'm going to share with you this morning. So how many of you guys have heard of the concept of already, not yet? All right. All our seminary people are like, yep, heard that one. Great. So I really want our entire church to get this. Okay, this is an important foundational principle of the kingdom of heaven. So the concept of already, not yet. So if you go and you start in the New Testament, and you start reading through your Bible, you see pretty early on, this guy, it's kind of a big deal. Jesus said he was the greatest man that ever lived, right? John the Baptist comes onto the scene and starts foretelling about one that would come after him that would redeem all of humanity, right? The Messiah, the King, the coming King. And he says, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand, therefore repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, when Jesus starts his ministry, some of the first things that are recorded in Scripture about Jesus' ministry is Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, it's kind of an awkward way to say that. I wouldn't necessarily say that my plate of Thanksgiving dinner is at hand before the meal starts. But what that means is that it's here. It's tangible. It's graspable. You can hold it in your hand. You can participate in it. It's present now. So this is a little bit confusing to people. So for instance, Pastor Randy talked about it a second ago. There's a lot of disappointment. And for crying out loud, the Lions, the Detroit Lions, are our football team. I'm going there. And you U of M fans. Man, it was a rough weekend. And the Red Wings, should I keep going on? No. Yeah, there's a lot of disappointment in this guy this weekend. There's a lot of disappointment and hurt in the world. You know, we pray for things and they don't always happen. People get sick, things happen that we don't understand, there's abuse, there's all sorts of problems that are evident in the world. And so how can you say, hypothetically, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, if the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be like, you know, all the good stuff, the not the Lions losing all the time. Gosh. No, I'm just kidding. So the kingdom of heaven, they're saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but it is an unfolding adventure. So the kingdom is not fully manifest in that the kingdom, the coming reign of King Jesus, is not necessarily here yet in its fullness. So what do I mean? So there's part of the kingdom of heaven that is to be unfolded in the end time. So we talk about in theology, it's called the eschaton, which is some Greek word or something. Basically means the end of time. So eschatology is the study of end times. So there is something that is yet to be accomplished in God's kingdom, right? So what do you think? Does culture look like the kingdom of God right now? Not so much, right? There's parts of it. It's expanding. We're believing for that. We're going after it. We're putting in the work. But there's still work to do. So it's already here in part, but part of it is not quite here yet. So that is a foundational principle of the kingdom, because if the kingdom was already here in its fullness, there wouldn't be a job to do, right? All creation hasn't heard the gospel yet. All nations have not heard the gospel yet. There's still a work for us to do. Now, what does this look like? So, in this parable, the great treasure, so the treasure of great price, the pearl, is buried in the ground. So there's a lot of symbolism there, right? So Jesus, right, buried 3 days, rose again after 3 days. All of creation, we have to go through a death, right? Every single one of us, to be human, means that at some point we will die. But for those that are faithful and believe in Christ, there's a resurrection, amen? So we don't stay dead, but there's a planting in the ground. We have a saying here at FGC that everything in the kingdom comes in seed form. Well, seeds have to be buried in the ground in order to take root. There's a nurturing that has to take place. Sunshine and water and nutrients in the soil. So all of these things are an example of the patience that it takes to live like Christ in the world. So there's going to be hard times. There's going to be struggle. There's going to be things that are not happy, right? There's a lot of trials in life, but if we remain faithful in Christ and we give ourselves and we lay down our agenda, then we will be risen again with Christ into the fullness of the kingdom when the time is right. Now, there is a role that we play here on earth. I know I'm coming back to this point over and over again. I hope you realize that it's important, that we have a role to do. There is a job to do for the church in the world, and the role of the kingdom is different than the role of the church. Does that make sense? Does everybody know what the difference between the church and the kingdom is? Oh, yeah. Well, I want you to know it. I want everybody in here to know this one. So the best example, the best analogy that I've come up with, or that, you know, I've heard, that I've adapted, is the church is the driver and the kingdom is the vehicle. So the kingdom of God is present wherever you take it. So we are submitted to Christ in our hearts. We are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, wherever we go, the jurisdiction of the kingdom goes with us. So when we go to work, we are bringing the presence of God. We are bringing the jurisdiction of heaven, and we are bringing the kingdom everywhere we go. Therefore, if I go out skateboarding, I'm going to be bringing the kingdom there. If I go to school, if I go to a Red Wings game, I go and watch the Lions lose, I'm bringing the kingdom of heaven there. But there's a slight difference here. The role of the kingdom, as opposed to the church, has a covert nature to it that's woven in. So what do I mean by that? Doesn't have to be. But in observation, Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like the treasure that's buried under the ground, right? So there's a nature of concealment there that is a good thing. If the treasure was out in the open, then everybody would be scrambling and getting it, and then in this analogy, in this parable, it wouldn't be obtainable to the person. So the strategy of the kingdom, when Jesus came, the ruling elite of the religious order, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the ones that studied the law, expected the Messiah to come like a raging bull, to come and shatter the grips of Rome through military conquest. That's what they were expecting. They were expecting if God, the almighty, powerful God, is going to limit himself and come to earth, then he's going to come like a 10-foot-tall giant, you know, muscular man that crushes everybody, right? That's what they thought. Instead, God chooses to come as one that is a servant born in a manger, in a barn, the most humble of beginnings and endings for our God, right, in his earthly reign here. And that was totally topsy-turvy of what was expected. There was a concealment. In fact, there are multiple points in Scripture where Jesus says, don't tell people about me yet. He says, don't tell it, just get your stuff, go, but don't say anything yet, right? Now, what do I mean? I don't want to cause any confusion here. That doesn't mean that we don't talk about the kingdom. That doesn't mean that we don't walk in the fullness and display the kingdom. What it means is that the kingdom can sometimes look a little unorthodox. There's a covert strategy that God brought in his kingdom that is valuable to us. So the early church, they didn't hit the streets and take Rome by conquest. What they did is they met in homes. They met in homes, and it grew like wildfire just below the surface. Just below. If one is willing to dig, the kingdom of heaven is very accessible. But there's a digging that's required for you to discover the treasure. So what does that look like for us? For those that are hungry, you will be satisfied. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. That is the word. If you want an encounter with the living God, just ask. All you have to do is ask, right? But there is a job for each one of us to do. I know I say that and it sounds mundane, because a lot of people don't like their job. In fact, I think it's the majority of people don't like their job when they're when we do surveys and such. What a bummer, man. But work, we are to enjoy our work, right? Work should be a blessing. When we're pouring ourselves into things that we're passionate about, when we're operating in our destiny, that should be an empowering thing. Now, don't worry. If you're not in a place that you enjoy right now, hey, it's okay. What I'm saying here, though, is that there is a level of ambiguity, there is a level of uncertainty in life that requires a digging below the surface for us to encounter the heavenly realm, that if we're willing to press through adversity and we're willing to dig there, there is great treasure in the kingdom realm for us to enter into. Amen?
Amen.
Now, part of this work that we have to do requires a letting go of things that sometimes are important to us, right? So in life, so I'm a newer parent. I've got two kids under two, right? And there is a level of priority that when you're operating in order, sometimes things that you want, you have to put on the side for the greater good of your family unit, let's say, right? And that's a part of maturity, that's a part of growth. Even the healthy vines are trimmed, right? So there is a level of letting go and recognition that I don't get to have my way all the time, right? I think that's pretty obvious, but it's harder to accept that sometimes. But for us to get the most out of our relationship with God, we have to put our egos on the back burner, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to cut off your life force, right? I hope Andrew will let me tell a story. Well, can I? He's back there. He doesn't care. He doesn't know what I'm going to say. But so Andrew and I came back into the church around the same time, and there was something that he believed. He thought in order to walk in his relationship with God that he would have to potentially give up playing music. And this was a great concern to him. You know, the scripture talks about taking only two tunics and, you know, don't pack for your journey, but, you know, that kind of stuff. And he's saying, man, John, if God made me give up music, I don't know what I would do, right? In fact, we have, does that sound familiar? To lift the knife up to the thing that you love the most, right? We have Isaac, right? The sacrifice there. But he didn't have to give that up. It was the willingness of heart. So even though God might say, how much are you really willing to give up? You know, last time I talked about the rich young ruler, right? It wasn't even necessarily the money that Christ was getting at, but it was the heart posture behind it, the heart posture of the closed fist towards God. The grasping of the thing that you want in your way, where you hold up a fist to God and you say, you can take all this other stuff, but not this thing, because this is mine. That heart posture leads to discomfort, dissatisfaction. In fact, the more you try to dig your heels into the sand and fight, the more discontent you will be. The more willing you are to accept change and discomfort and growth, the easier it is. But the more that you fight against changes, the more you fight against sacrifice, the more you fight against God, it's only going to lead you into more dissatisfaction, more pain, a desert season. The Israelites wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, right? Now, thank God we don't have to do that. That's not required of us. What's required of us is an openness to God and a willingness to say, take it all. Right? If God puts it on my heart to give up, let's just say, a financial amount, because I know that's something that's hard, right? It takes faith to put your money where your mouth is. But if God's saying, I want you to sacrifice this thing, and you are willing to do it, I believe that there is a blessing for your willingness and openness to God, right? So the kingdom requires something of us. Christian living requires something of us. It's a free gift of salvation, but we have to receive it. And for us to receive it, we have to be making space in our lives. We have to be making space in our hearts, space in our schedule. There is requirements. But I'll tell you that it is a great prize that is available to us in the kingdom of heaven. There is a greater life available for you this morning. If you are willing to step into what God has for you, then there's nothing in heaven and earth that can stop you. I hope you recognize that there is passion that God's put inside you. There are ways that God has designed you that are completely unique from every other person. We all know this. I get it. But there is a unique destiny that is available for you that if you are willing to walk in it, man, it's going to be enjoyable. It is full of joy. We are to be living full of joy, full of love and of peace, right? There is constantly a question that God is asking us every day. When we wake up, God is saying, are you willing to follow me today? Are you willing to go with me where I want you to go today? What is your response to this question? Are you saying, okay. I've got stuff to do. I've got things in my planner. I'm already getting beeps on my phone that are telling me to go to places and do things. But are you taking the kingdom of heaven with you? Are you operating in a place that is full of empowerment and joy and peace and power? So let me put it this way. There is an opportunity here this morning. For everybody that's hearing my voice, there is an opportunity to step into true fulfillment and passion and power, dynamic living. We are not prisoners to our circumstances, but we are overcomers through a power that is so great that we can't even contain it. That's why the psalmist writes, my cup runs over with blessings. My cup runs over. So what will be your response to God this morning? There's going to be a lot of people, I hate to say it like this, but there's going to be a lot of people who don't enter into the kingdom because they said, you know what, I'll follow God tomorrow. You know, I believe God, I believe Jesus died, I believe all the stuff, but I'm not willing to give up my way of doing things. I'm not willing to make sacrifices for Christ. I'm not willing to give my life over to God unabashedly. I have to lay down my agenda. So I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to lay down your agenda and trust that God will fill you up? Any need that you have will be satisfied in God. Our God is a stream of refreshment in every way that is available to us that we can come and drink and be satisfied. At the well, Jesus is saying, man, this is living water that when you drink of it, you'll never be thirsty again. So I want to invite you this morning to make a decision wherever you're at in your relationship with God to come to God with open hands and open heart this morning to receive, because it takes something from us to walk in kingdom living. There's requirements to follow Christ. And it's not always the easiest life. There are times when it would be easier to go and dull our pain There would be time when it would be easier to just escape from whatever problems that we're facing. But if we're willing to give those things over to Christ, then there is such great, immense amount of pleasure and joy and satisfaction and power. Great treasure. Such a great treasure that in these analogies, they give up everything for it. I want to give up everything to follow Christ. The invitation to the first disciples was, come and follow me. And that's what God is always constantly saying. So this morning, are you willing to come and follow Christ? So Father God, I pray for everybody listening to my voice that you would fill them with a desire and a passion for more of you. That we come with questions and doubts and pain and suffering and sadness and depression and anxiety and all the things of the world. And we give these things to you, Jesus. We place our burdens on you because your burdens are light. So come, bring your sustaining life and power and passion into every heart that's listening. We say yes to you, Jesus. We lay down our agenda to follow you and your kingdom. So empower us with the precious treasure of your kingdom this morning, we pray. For everyone that is weary, that there would be great joy and excitement and passion and energy for who you are. That where there is depression, that there would be overpowering joy and gratitude and energy. That where there is anxiety and worry and trouble, that you would replace that with a deep peace that cannot be shaken. Meet us where we are, Lord. So if that is you, if you are willing to follow Christ today, it doesn't matter about yesterday and it doesn't matter about tomorrow. Right now, if you are willing to give your life and your agenda over to King Jesus to rule and reign, then I want you to put your hands out in front of you, wherever you're listening to this message. Just put your hands out as a symbolic gesture of saying, we come with open hands, Lord. We're not grasping to the past and to our pain and to our disappointments and to our suffering, but we come with open hands and offer ourselves up as living sacrifices to you, God, that you would take and mold our hearts into what you would have for us to do. Shape our destiny, shape our passion, shape our minds into your image. Help us to be like you, King Jesus, full of compassion and love. One who constantly gives of ourselves, that loves our neighbors, God. We want to be like you, Jesus. So we say, come, bring your Holy Spirit into our lives. Bring your passion into our lives. Bring your excitement into our lives. Bring your joy and your peace and your kindness and your mercy. Bring your kingdom into our lives in a greater way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you feel lighter? I think there's a lighter atmosphere in here, and I believe that this is a sign of what our community is to bring to this next season. We are to be light as a feather, that our burdens, turn those over to the Lord. So, I want this to sink in beyond your head, because you're not a head on a stick, but you are a total person with complex emotions and spirit and mind all melded into a beautiful creation. So much so that Christ was willing to give himself for us, that God was willing to come down and give his life for every single one of us. So what an amazing thing to be thankful for this year.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Freedom Gateway Center. For more teachings and other resources, visit freedomgatewaycenter.com.